We're going to be reading from Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, the 28th through the 36th verse. I invite you to follow along as we listen for the Word of God. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Oh God, your word is not dead. It is not just some ancient manuscript that doesn't apply to our lives now. Your word is living and breathing. Your word still matters and still has something to speak into our lives today. And so we pray that in this moment, you might speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit, our hearts wide open to hear what it is that you have to say to us this day. Help us not to just learn new things and inform our intellects, but, oh God, soften our hearts that we might fall more in love with you, more in love with each other, and that we might serve you all the days of our lives. Oh God, I am not perfect. I am helpless just like the rest, but I offer myself as your instrument to convey your message to your people this morning. Pray this in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Amen. So little children are initially quick to ask for help. They understand that there are things they simply cannot do on their own. There are things that they cannot reach. There are, they can't prepare food for themselves. They need help with that. Or they need it done for them. There may be things that they haven't been able to quite figure out how they work yet. They might not have the motor skills quite yet. There are still things that they have to learn. And so help, mommy, daddy, grandma, whomever, teacher, help. Over time, we start wanting to do things on our own. I can do it. I can do it myself. And sometimes we can and sometimes we can't, but we want to try to do it, whatever it is, on our own before we ask for help. Eventually we become more and more independent and we don't need to ask for help so much because we can do it ourselves. Excuse me. We don't notice that perhaps we could do it faster, better, and so on, or maybe even a completely different way if we would just ask for help every now and again. And so it goes. We don't ask for help, and we run ourselves ragged, depriving others, God, of the opportunity to step in and to do something. It isn't until we've exhausted all the other options, much of the time, we are truly helpless, that we surrender and say, "I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need help." We don't like to be helpless. It's a very uncomfortable place to be. And as a result, we hide our helplessness from others, maybe ourselves even. We try to hide it from God. We try to act like we have it all together. I mean, even when, and perhaps most especially when we're at church, the place and the people with which we gather and by our very presence are admitting that we are not perfect and cannot do life on our own. I'm not helpless. I've got it all together. Maybe my life isn't perfect, but I'm completely in control of things. I know exactly what I'm doing. I don't need help. We don't like to admit it. We don't realize, even in the life of the church, how much we need God. We need Jesus. We need each other. We need help. The truth is that it's difficult to connect with God when we're not being completely honest. As one prayer seminar participant put it, both can sound the same on the outside, but the former is too often motivated by a sense of obligation and guilt, whereas the latter is motivated by a conviction that I am completely helpless to do life on my own. Or in the case of praying for others, that I'm completely helpless to help others without the grace and power of God. Look at the Gospels, and you see people who are coming to Jesus because they are helpless. The Samaritan woman, the fishermen who are just going about their work, their jobs, not realizing that God has something greater that he wants them to do with their lives than simply fish all day and provide for their families. The crippled man, the leper, the crowd with no bread, the blind man, Mary and Martha, who are desperate for their brother Lazarus to be raised from the dead. All of these people come to Jesus because they are helpless. We come to Jesus because we are helpless, because we aren't perfect and we can't do it on our own. Because our lives, if we're willing to take an honest look, are pretty messy at times. Because we sin and we need to be forgiven, and Jesus is our salvation. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Grace only works when we realize we don't have it all together, when we realize that we need it. Paul E. Miller says this about helplessness: the same is true of prayer. The very thing we are allergic to, our helplessness, is what makes prayer work. It works because we are helpless. We can't do life on our own. We need to pray helplessly, honestly. We need Jesus. We need each other. Last week, we talked about how we need to talk to God one-on-one. We were created with the need to connect with the divine. We all do it in different ways, hoping for the same results. We meditate. We exercise. We go to yoga. We go for a walk to listen to the birds sing. We pray. We are all longing for our insides to be quiet, for time to slow down, for a moment to clear our heads and to be able to prioritize or plan next steps so that we might be at peace even as the world around us, and indeed our own lives, are hectic, confusing, maybe even mundane, to name a few. In the Christian faith, we believe that we were created in the image of God. We were created with a desire to connect with our Creator. And we can ignore that need for centering, but over time that has consequences for us that we can sometimes see and sometimes cannot. We need to pray. We need to spend time, not so much focusing on the words we are saying, so much as focusing on the God to whom we are praying. That's what we talked about last week. And this week, our focus, as we're talking, I was trying to talk a little bit about with the children during children's time, our focus is on praying with others. We are created with the need to be in relationship with others and to pray to God together. I really love when I ask, "Will someone lead us in prayer?" And like everyone's enthusiastically, "Oh, I can't wait to do this. oh, pick me, pick me, pick, pick me, pick me, pick me. Right? Happens all the time. Confession. Even when a bunch of pastors get together, someone's asks, would someone lead us in prayer? And everyone goes, I'm not doing it. I did it last time. You do it. Same exact thing among a bunch of pastors. Why? Why aren't we more willing to pray together more often? Here are some reasons. Fairly obvious ones, but let's talk about it. We're afraid of praying or speaking in front of people. Why? What's the worst that could happen when we're praying in front of people? Maybe we don't say things quite right. Oh, but that'll get to the next one. We don't have to be worried so much about what we say. It's about who we're talking to. We get nervous and we're uncomfortable. Maybe we really don't know what to say. It's difficult to find the words. You know, there was this time, I talked about it a few weeks ago a little bit, when Summer was born and there were complications and she couldn't breathe. And so I'm just delivered this baby and I'm thinking I need to pray. But I couldn't find the words. And everyone else had left the room to go see my child that I'd held for like 2 seconds. Okay, more like 15, if I'm being honest. And there my stepdad, Frank, and I were in the room alone together, and I said, would you pray with me? Now, I hope it's okay if I share this. Frank does not like to pray in front of people. And so I knew what a big deal it was for me to ask, can you pray? And so he did. And I don't remember what you said. I don't remember what he said, but what I remember was that he was courageous enough to do that with me. And it wasn't about what he said, but it was about our hearts helplessly lifting to God in that moment. You know, we don't have to have all the right words to say. And we shouldn't have to worry about people judging us for what we're saying. Because we're gathered with other believers, right? And we're supposed to be able to be helpless with each other. And it's okay if we don't have all the right words. And it's okay if we're a little bit nervous. Reasons we don't pray together more often. When it comes right down to it, we're afraid to be helpless in front of others. It means that we have to admit to others that we don't have it all together, which might mean we have to admit to ourselves that we don't have it all together. We have to drop the facade. We have to drop the appearances and simply be vulnerable to one another and vulnerable to God before one another. And that's scary for us. So we avoid it. There's something incredibly powerful about believers gathered together hopelessly praying to God, though. When I was in elementary school, I had this pastor, his name was Kirk Knave, and at the end of a sermon, he asked all of us to stand up and to circle around the sanctuary. And you know how long it takes a whole bunch of people to make a circle, right? So we're circling, we get in a circle around that sanctuary, and then he says, hold the hand of your neighbors. And my parents were in the choir, so I was not with family. I was standing next to two people I didn't know particularly well. I mean, I knew their names, I knew their family members' names, I knew what they did for a living, that sort of thing, but I didn't know them. Wasn't like so comfortable. Like, let me hold your hand and walk down the hallway. That was not the level of comfortability we had. But we all grabbed the hands of our neighbor. You know that feeling when you have to hold someone else's hand that you're not super comfortable with? You start thinking, I hope they don't notice my hands are shaking. My hands are too cold or too sweaty. Am I holding firmly enough? Are they, oh, ouch, they're squeezing too tight. We start thinking about that thing, that holding the hands. And I was thinking that, but then the pastor started to pray. And I don't remember what he prayed, but I remember the feeling when he prayed. And he goes on, he's praying, and he's telling us, you know, close your eyes, bow your head. And so we're praying. And at one point he said, I want you to feel the Holy Spirit coming up one arm and resonating in your body and then going out the other hand and feel the Holy Spirit building and building and building in this room. Now, I prayed with people my whole life. I grew up in the church. I prayed in Sunday school. I prayed with my family at meals, at bedtime. I prayed in lots of different situations with other people. I prayed during worship service. But that was the first time that I think I really got the power of praying with other people. And I remember in one moment, I did that thing that we all kind of do. I peeked. I peeked a little bit, and I looked around the room, and I saw all of these people holding the hand of their neighbor, a little awkward, a little vulnerable. And the longer that we stood there, the more comfortable with each other we got, and the more we were able to concentrate on the God that we all love and that we all need. And eyes were closed tight and heads were bowed. It was complete vulnerability to each other and to God. And there was such power in that moment. There have been other times along the way when I've had powerful experiences praying with other people. My first Sunday, my first appointment, I was told by a group of people that I was to gather with them in a certain Sunday school classroom before worship service started, and that we were going to pray together. And this was not some, like, prayer that was prayed by rote. It was heartfelt, and everyone in the circle took a turn praying. And it was so powerful. And as nervous as I might have been for my very first Sunday as a pastor preaching in front of a congregation that I was supposed to shepherd, that brought me such peace. And I got up there on my first Sunday, not a single nerve, not nervous at all. There are other times when someone would say, hey, I'm going to have surgery. Or I've been diagnosed with such and such a thing. And I would be gathered with people and we would pray for that person and we would lay hands on them and we would anoint them with oil. And sometimes those people were healed in this life and sometimes they weren't. Was it a product of the prayer? Or was it going to happen anyway? I don't know. But I still know the prayer helped. There are times when we didn't know what to do as a family or as a church. We felt helpless, and so we prayed, God, we need some direction here. We are desperate. And those were powerful, powerful times of prayer. It's awkward holding someone else's hand. It can feel awkward perhaps at first, when we start praying with other people and in front of other people. But there's such power in praying together. In our focus scripture this morning, as we've been talking about Jesus, he climbs this mountain and he prays with Peter, James, and John. They're praying together. And I find it funny, it struck me differently this time as I was preparing for this sermon, how Jesus, it stuck out to me that Jesus, he's praying, and he's the Messiah, the Son of God. Perhaps the disciples don't know exactly who he is. They don't know the exact significance of him, but they know he's a big deal. And still, they're struggling to stay awake as he prays. Which makes me not feel so bad if you guys have a hard time paying attention when I pray. And so they're praying together. And then Moses and Elijah, they appear. And this incredible thing happens where the three of them are talking about Jesus' significance. And Peter, James, and John, they're on the outside looking in. They don't know exactly what's being talked about. They don't understand it. But Jesus, he's standing there with Elijah and Moses, and they're talking about what is to come. And that cloud that appears, and the voice of God says, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." Think of what might have happened, how things might have been different for Peter, James, and John if they hadn't been willing to go up that mountain and to pray with Jesus. Think of the incredible thing that they would have missed out on. Think of the understanding, the significance of Jesus. It keeps building and building and building as longer the disciples are with Jesus. And this is just another occasion where the disciples, they learn just a little bit more about who Jesus is and what he came to do. Think of what they would have missed out on. The direction for their lives they would have missed out on if they hadn't been willing to go up that mountain and to pray with Jesus. Jesus set the example for us. And he shows us that it's important for us to pray together. Maybe we aren't going to see Jesus, Moses, and Elijah if we manage to stay awake. But that would be pretty cool. But God does powerful things when we pray together, even today. What if when someone says to us that they have something going on in their lives or they have someone they're worried about, instead of saying, I'll pray for you, I'll be in prayer for that, we stopped what we were doing right then and there and we prayed with them. How powerful that would be for us. What if when we have a Bible study or a small group or whatever, we drop all pretense and stop and pray together helplessly, acknowledging that we can't do everything on our own and our lives are not perfect? What if we prayed about decisions we need to make, both inside and outside of the church, before we give the first thought of how we're going to move forward of our own power instead and hope God is in it? All the coaches and the consultants who know anything about how to get a church off the ground, the first thing that they ask when a church is struggling is, what time does your prayer group meet that prays for the church and for its future fruitfulness? You don't have one? Okay, well, there's your problem. You need to start there. In other words, you're not admitting that you're helpless and that you need God. You're trying to do things of your own power, using the resources available to you, rather than relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you, equip you, and grow you. What if we stopped thinking of all the reasons not to pray together and just said to one, "Hold my hand. I need help. Pray with me." What a difference that would make in our relationship with God and with one another. What a difference disciples, a church like that, could make in the lives of each other and around the world. How much bolder we would be for God in this world. Next steps. Over the course of this sermon series during the season of Lent, we are journeying with Jesus toward the cross. And we're looking at specific times when Jesus prayed and what we can learn from them. And also we're diving a little bit deeper into aspects of prayer, things that might be holding us back from praying, and how we might draw closer to God in our conversations with him. And over the course of this sermon series, I am challenging us as a church during the season of Lent to pray. There's a prayer challenge that you can sign up for online through our weekly email blast. You can go on our website, our Facebook page, and you can see it there. And what I'm challenging each of us to do is to take stock of our prayer life. See where it is right now. Maybe we don't pray at all. Maybe we pray before meals. Maybe we pray when we're with other people at church, but we don't pray any other time. Or maybe we do pray a lot, but there's the aspects of our prayer life that could go deeper. So I've never met a person who said, my prayer life is perfect. It's just where it needs to be. It doesn't need to improve. But take stock of where our prayer life is now and set an attainable goal for ourselves for the rest of the season of Lent of how we can grow in our conversations with God. And so there's a place for you to sign up for that if you'd like to. And I'll check in with you every couple of weeks or so and just, you know, encourage you and ask you how you're doing along the way. But it's an opportunity for us to grow closer to God. We have to be in conversation with God to really love God and to really be relying on God in our lives. And then, so I would like for you to sign up for that prayer challenge if you haven't already. And the next thing is, I find someone or a group of people to pray with on a regular basis beyond worship service. Maybe it's a prayer partner that you talk to once a week on the phone, or you get together over a hot beverage or for lunch and you pray together. Maybe it's a group of people that you gather with for church, for small group, or people you gather together with specifically to pray with once a month, once every couple of weeks, once a week, whatever it may be for you. Maybe it's a colleague at work. Maybe it's another student at school. Maybe it's another mom at preschool. Gather together and pray together and be willing to be helpless with each other and to God. And then my real challenge for each of us, whether it's in our individual prayer time or when we pray in groups, is that I want to encourage us to pray honestly and helplessly in our prayer lives. Because if we're just praying all the usual stuff, well, you know, I love you, and thanks for being you, and, you know, praying for this person, that's great. But there's so much more depth to our relationship with God that we can find when we're willing to say, okay, I am not perfect, and here are the ways that I am not perfect. And here are the places where I feel lost in my life. Here are the places where I need help, where I need you to guide me, where I need you to bring someone into my life to help me, where I need assurance, where I need you to bring me peace. Here it all is, God. Ugh. What a difference that makes. What a difference that makes when we as the church are willing to do that together. Being a believer in Jesus Christ, the chosen one, means admitting we need help. That we are gathered here in this place right now is an admission that we cannot do it all on our own, that we need salvation that is offered to us through Jesus Christ. So let's be honest with ourselves, with each other, with God, and not hesitate to fall on our knees before the chosen one and say, take my hand. I need you. Amen.